King David, towards the end of his life, made a serious error of judgment. He made a mistake. He did something that God had condemned. He took a census of Israel, something which God had prohibited. And in doing that, in taking this census against the direct command of the Lord God, David brought upon himself and upon the whole nation of Israel the judgment of God. And God told David that he was going to punish him for this direct act of rebellion against him. And he asked David, what punishment would you prefer? Interesting question, isn't it? No one likes any punishment, but to get a choice. And David said, in essence, well, whatever the punishment is, don't let it come from the hands of man. I want it to come from your hand, from the hand of God. Why did David ask that? Well, his explanation was, God knows how to be merciful. How many times in your life have you made a mistake? A mistake at work, perhaps. A mistake in the home. A mistake in your relationship with your friends. And they've been offended. They've been hurt. They're angry with you. And they don't let you forget it. How many times have you wished that they would give you a second chance? That they would show you some mercy? That they would allow you to try again to correct that mistake? Or at least not to make that mistake once more? Anne of Green Gables, you know the story. You know how Anne was always getting into trouble. She seemed to have been born for mischief. And it wasn't always of her own making. But one of the things that Anne once said to Marilla, her adopted mother, was that once she'd made a mistake, she never made it again. She always learned from her mistakes. Have you ever wished that the people around you who you've hurt or offended would give you that benefit of the doubt that you wouldn't make the same mistake twice? I wonder how Jonah felt as he lay spat up on that beach, wondering what lay before him now. What did his future hold? What was God going to do with him now? He'd saved him from a storm. It saved him from a life in the belly of a great fish, however long that would have lasted. He was alive, and he was on a beach somewhere. But what now? Well, the third chapter of the prophecy of Jonah tells us that God gives second chances. He often gives people the opportunity to make right what they've done wrong, or at least not to make the same mistake again. And we see in this chapter, firstly, that Jonah was given a second chance. We're told, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. The second time, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, Jonah was told, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. In Jonah chapter 1, we learn that Jonah arose, but he didn't go to Nineveh. He fled to Joppa, onto a ship, and set sail for Tarshish, the opposite direction. Jonah made a mistake. He tried to flee from the presence of God. Jonah chapter 3. Arise, Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose again. But this time he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Like Anne of Green Gables, he wasn't going to make the same mistake twice. He was obedient to the law. God, in his mercy, had given him a second chance. And Jonah, by God's grace, took up that opportunity to put right what he'd done wrong, to not make the same mistake. And this prophet, on this occasion, is not a rebellious prophet that needs to be chastened, but an obedient prophet who will be rewarded. Jonah's not the only one in the scriptures who we discover is given a second chance. Remember King David? I referred to him already this morning. Many years earlier in his life, before that disastrous mistake of taking a census in Israel, David had made another disastrous mistake. Instead of going off to war at the head of his army, leading his troops into battle against the enemy, David had stayed at home. And as he walked about on the rooftop of his palace, he noticed a beautiful woman who was bathing. And he called for her. And he slept with her. And she became pregnant. And in order to try and cover up this mistake that he made yet another mistake. He called for her husband. Tried to get him home so that when the baby came, it would be assumed that it was his. He refused. His brothers at arms were on the battlefield. He wasn't going to take pleasure while they were fighting. And so David sent him back to the battlefield, back to the hottest point of the battle, where he knew for sure he would die. An adulterer and a murderer in a matter of days. And you remember how God sent Nathan, the prophet, to David. And Nathan, through a parable, demonstrated to David the sinfulness of what he had done. How he who had so much had taken what was not his and had brought God's condemnation against him. But that's not the end of the story, is it? David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I've made this terrible mistake. I've broken God's command. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. That was the punishment for adultery, death by stoning. But God was merciful to King David. He gave him a second chance, more opportunities to obey his law and to be a better testimony, a better example for the people of Israel to follow. There's another man in the New Testament who was given a second chance. I referred to him in our first sermon on the book of Jonah. Peter, the impetuous apostle, always full of confidence in his ability to please Jesus, his master. And how on the day of Jesus' greatest need for help and for comfort and for someone to stand by his side, Peter denied him. Not once, not twice, but three times. with oaths and curses. I do not know that man, let alone am I a friend of his. And you remember how when that cockerel crowed and Peter realized that the prophecy of Jesus that he would indeed deny him had come true, he wept. He repented of his sin. But that's not the end of the story there either. It goes on and it speaks about after Jesus' resurrection from the dead and the disciples of our Lord gathering together with him. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these other disciples? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He's given a second chance. Three times he had denied knowing Jesus. Three times he confirms his love for Jesus. And in this way, Jesus, in a sense, reinstates him as a spokesman of the apostles, confirms him in his position as a called one, a messenger of the living God. He's given a second chance despite the mistake he'd made. Despite the fact that he had turned his back on Jesus in his hour of need, God was merciful and gave the Apostle Peter a second chance. And you may feel that you've made mistakes in your life, that you've turned your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not obeyed the will of God as you ought to. Or perhaps the Lord this morning is giving you a second chance. Perhaps he's saying to you, arise, go. Perhaps he's saying to you, do you love me more than these? Perhaps he's saying to you, I do not hold this sin against you. Recognizing one's mistake is an enormous step forward towards correcting it, towards putting it right. Jonah realized as he meditated on his actions in the belly of that great fish, he knew he had made a mistake. And as soon as the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah, there was no dilly-dallying. There was no umming and ahhing. There was no wondering what he should do. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh. What's your mistake? Are you delaying putting it right, despite the fact you recognize that you've departed from the will of the Lord, that you're not obeying his commands, you're not doing his will? You're not loving him and serving him as you ought to. Don't test the patience of the living God. Be obedient. Be humble. Be submissive. And do what he asks you to do. But in this story, it isn't only Jonah who, in a sense, is given a second chance, but Nineveh is as well. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. What was the message? But Jonah was told to preach, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That's it, just in summary form. Of course, Jonah would have explained that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before the holy God, and his judgment was coming upon that great city. And this is the word that he is to take to that city. And Jonah goes and he preaches against Nineveh. And he tells them, warns them concerning the Lord's works and ways. But even in this, God is offering, as it were, a second chance to Nineveh. They've been wicked in the past. And there's such great wickedness that God is going to pour out his judgment upon them. But he's warning them. He's giving them this opportunity to change their behaviour. He doesn't put it in any positive way. At least Jonah doesn't seem to put it in any positive way. And I'm sure after his recent experience, he was preaching all that the Lord said he should. But notice what happens. These people heard the message. Here was a preacher from Israel who was under their rule, under their subjection, and he was in all this boldness preaching against them. Should he just be dismissed as a lunatic, as a crazy Israelite who had gone mad because of these circumstances? Should he be locked up, put away? You know, that's what Israel did to Jeremiah. When God sent Jeremiah to Israel preaching a similar message to this, Israel locked him up, put him away, silenced him. But Nineveh, they listened. They took to heart the message that Jonah brought to them. And they responded. See how they responded? The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Even the king, when he heard it, he got off his throne. He laid aside his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth. He sat in ashes. This very public sign of humiliation and of repentance, of regret about the circumstances and situation that he was in. Even the king. And he went beyond that. He caused this decree to be spread throughout the city and the outlying districts. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. They were to fast, even the beasts. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. So they were to give this visible, this open demonstration of their remorse, of their repentance. But this isn't just an outward show that these Ninevites are demonstrating. The king goes on and he says, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Their wickedness has come up before the living God. He sent Jonah to preach judgment to them. And they recognize their sin. They see their wickedness for what it is. And they turn away from their evil, from their violence. Not with any certainty of having mercy. The king says, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Who knows? Let us try everything. Let us turn from our wicked ways. Let us demonstrate our sorrow for the things that we have done. They believed the word of God. They turned from their sin. And in God's mercy, he didn't bring upon them the disaster that he had promised. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. It's completely consistent with God's character, isn't it? God isn't changing his mind here. He has always promised that if people will repent, he will forgive. That's his character. It's ingrained in his very being, as it were. These people didn't know the character of God. But you know, Jonah did. And we'll see that next week. Jonah knew what God would do. And God, he didn't want God to do that to his enemy. Jonah knew that if he preached a message of judgment, and if the Ninevites repented, Jonah knew God would forgive. And he does so. He acts completely consistently with his own character. Nineveh is given a second chance. The 40 days pass, and Nineveh still stands, and the people still live. And no doubt they live with thanks to the God of Jonah, who has spared them. Sure, years later, judgment will come to them on another generation. In another year, Nineveh will be destroyed. Assyria will no longer be a superpower. They will have been overwhelmed by another. But here, today, at this time, God gives them a second chance. And they take that chance with both hands. They lay hold of it and do not let it go. They put their trust in the living God. And perhaps you were here this morning, and like the Ninevites, your wickedness has gone up before the Lord. And perhaps for you this morning, this message and the story of Nineveh comes, as it were, as a message of judgment against you because of your sin. Because of your refusal to obey the law of God, which you know, which you've heard in the past, but which you have failed to obey. And the question is, what are you going to do with the second chance that God is giving you this morning? Are you, like the Ninevites, going to turn from your sin? Are you going to heed the word of the Lord, recognize his power to condemn you? And are you going to repent, not by wearing sackcloth and sitting in ashes, but like the Ninevites, by turning from your evil ways and from your rebellion against the living God? Are you going to take this second chance with both hands and hope in the God who, to all who repent, offers forgiveness? Second chance for Jonah. A second chance for Nineveh. But second chances shouldn't always be assumed. Second chances don't come to everyone. And there may not be a third or a fourth or a fifth chance to get right with God, to do the right thing, to put right the mistakes that you've made. This story of Jonah and the account of what happened in Nineveh is taken up by Jesus Christ in both Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, it's recorded. And the people of Jesus' day were warned. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was a prophet of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached God's judgment upon that great city whose wickedness had gone up before the Lord. And they repented. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Instead of turning from their sins, they nailed him to a cross. And Jesus warns, Nineveh, the Ninevites, will stand in judgment and condemn that generation for their failure to take the second chance that was offered to them. Believe in the Messiah of God. They weren't the only ones who were going to stand in condemnation against Israel. Sodom and Gomorrah, they too, Jesus said, would stand in judgment against Capernaum and against Bethsaida for their failure to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The people were told, if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen and heard the things that you have seen and heard, they would have repented. They would have turned. Warnings, you see, that second chances aren't always given. That there's no guarantee of forgiveness if this opportunity is allowed to go by. Jonah and Nineveh, both spared, both blessed by God because they took the opportunity that was given to them to put things right. Jonah made a mistake, but you know, the greatest mistake of all, in a sense, was the one made by Adam, who first brought sin into this world by refusing to walk in God's ways and instead using his own judgment and walking in his own ways. And every one of us since Adam has done the same thing. But there's a second Adam, Jesus Christ, who has come into this world to put right what that first Adam made wrong. To offer us, every one of us here, a second chance. And that all who will trust in Jesus Christ, in his payment for the sins of his people, all will be forgiven. For those who will become followers of Jesus Christ and will obey him and walk in his love, there will be no condemnation from God. He provides this second chance by putting right the mistake that Adam made. Will you trust in Jesus Christ this morning? And will you walk in his ways? And if you have made that commitment in the past, but you have begun to wander from that way, you've made mistakes. Will you turn back to him this morning? Plead for his mercy and forgiveness. And like Jonah, begin once again to walk in the ways of the Lord. Well, may God help us all to do his will and to bring him glory. Amen.